Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Braden of No Bull Sports Guys coming live at you. I'm excited for today's episode. Today I'm going to be touching a little bit on the WFA championship games, which are happening this weekend. We've got three of them. We have the Division One, Division Two, and Division Three championship games this weekend, and I'm just going to kind of give my takeaways on the season really quick and kind of the keys to winning the championship for each division. So let's go. But as always, thank you again for all your love and support. Last week's episodes were awesome. Getting a chance to talk with Jen and Talmadge, it was a lot of fun, and I hope to continue to grow. I know, unfortunately, it wasn't how we wanted it, and with the Las Vegas Silver Stars, they did fall in the first round of the playoffs, but it was a well-fought, hard game for them, and they shouldn't be anyway disappointed. They went from being 0-6 last season to 4-3 this season, which is an amazing turnaround, and I expect great and awesome things for them. But enough about the WNFC. We will get onto that tomorrow. We will be discussing their championship game and kind of the keys to victory. So let's dive into this. Now, so as you know, the WFA has three divisions, and these divisions are determined based on basically the size of the city, how much support they have, yada yada yada. You know how it is. It's the same. It's kind of the same concept as college football or college sports in general. You have Division One, you have Division Two, JUCO, all that fun stuff. Well, the WFA has three divisions, and they are playing their championship games this weekend in Canton, Ohio, and it looks like a lot of fun. Remember Lois Cook? She's awesome. Please go follow her on TikTok. It is Cleats and Stilettos, or follow her Instagram page. And she's there right now. Her team got eliminated in the first round of the playoffs, unfortunately, but she is hosting a whole bunch of different things there, and she's been showing some live TikToks. It's been a lot of fun. I got to talk to her yesterday. And if you haven't seen already, if you're not friends with her on TikTok, do it. But she is now partnering with Walmart and the Always Pad Company. And basically, what her campaign is with Walmart, every Always that is purchased from Walmart, they will donate a portion of that money to, I believe it was the YMCA, to keep allowing women to grow in sports, which I think is really awesome and cool. So there's that. So please go like her page and go follow her. All right. So the two teams that are playing in the Division One championship game, we've got the Boston Renegades and the Minnesota Vixen. Vix, I believe is how you say it. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your team name. I really apologize. But the Renegades, it's kind of cool seeing them. I follow all these teams on Instagram. And the New England Patriots, because the team is from Boston, have really taken hold of the Renegades, and I think it's awesome. They are back-to-back defending champs for Division One, and they look to be a three-peat. I guess I don't know what's in the water up in Boston, but that is definitely a championship city. Hopefully Vegas can get that way. I mean, the Golden Knights are killing it. They just need to bring home the Stanley Cup, but that's not what we're talking about. So with the Renegades and the Vexen, they are 1-2 in team scoring. Their defenses are 1-2 as well, and their total offense is 1-2. So the Renegades have scored the most points this season. They average about 59 points a game, which is awesome. The Vixens are no scrubs at all either. They averaged 48.7 points a game, which is really great too. And their defenses are really stellar. The Renegades only allowed 12 points all season, which is a 2 point per game average, which is really impressive. The Vixens allowed 8.9 points per game, or 62 points the whole entire season. So it's a pretty evenly matched up, if you ask me. I think it's going to be hard fought. And with the total offensive yards, the Vixens win that battle. They got a total of 2,500 yards. That's with passing and rushing. And the Renegades came in at number two with just 3 yards shy of 2,000. The Vixens also led the league in rushing with 1,600 yards, almost 1,700 yards, and the Renegades just finished right under 1,000 yards. And then for passing, the Renegades had almost 1,100 yards passing, and the Vixens had 847 yards. So I think it's going to be a really great game. If you look at it, you see the Renegades, their strong suit really is their team passing. I believe their quarterback is the leader for the league. It's crazy. The top passers for Division One are both the Renegades and the Vixens quarterback. It looks like Allison is her name for the Renegades. She had 967 yards, had a 73.9 completion percentage, was awesome. Her passer rating was 142.5, so it's pretty stellar. And then I believe Erin is her name for the Vixens. She passed for 778 yards with a 71.9 completion percentage and a 139.1 passer rating. And their statistics are crazy too. Allison had 19 touchdown passes and one interception, and Erin had 15 touchdown passes and two interceptions. Now, the running game is really impressive as well. Erin, the quarterback for the Vixens, finished seventh on the list, had almost 300 yards rushing, so that's awesome there. But the top rusher for Division One was Grace Cooper of the Vixens. She had almost 1,000 yards and 13 touchdowns. And at number three, the Renegades player, Chantel Bonds, I believe is her name, had almost 500 yards at 10 touchdowns. So it's gonna be an awesome game. I think it's gonna be hard fought. And I think the key for the Renegades is to establish some sort of run game too. We know their passing attack is stellar. Obviously they finished with over 1,000 yards, but I think what's gonna really help them is establishing a run game, because obviously the Vixens, who had the number two defense, are going to hone in on that passer, that passing game. So that's going to be their strong suit. And vice versa for the Vixens, I believe they need to kind of set the tone for that pass game, because we know their runners are stellar. They've got a ton of yards rushing, but they need to establish a passer game. And I think the keys for both teams to win is, so the Renegades need to stop, they need to stop the run for the Vixens, and they need to establish a run game. And vice versa for the Vixens, they need to stop the pass game and develop a pass game themselves. I expect this game to be really close, but I will give the edge to the Renegades, being that they are the back-to-back defending champions. I think they'll do the three-peat, but it'll be a close game. I see the score being 35 to 31 is the final score, with the Renegades taking it. I think either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. Please stream these games. You won't be disappointed. It's high quality streaming. Just watching the Las Vegas and San Diego game last week, it was really great quality. So that's Division One. We're headed to Division Two, where a team from Nevada is in the championship game. I'm excited for the Nevada Storms. Please, my Las Vegas fans, don't disown me. I know we've got our beef with Reno, but this is Reno's team. But they're from Nevada. Let's give them some support. They finished top in the league in both total points and points allowed on defense. They scored a total of 278 points, which is about 39.7 points a game, and they only allowed 6.9 points a game. Now they will be facing the Detroit Dark Angels. Such a cool name, Dark Angels, and their logo is pretty awesome too. They finished fifth in the league in their division with total points at 188, and they averaged 23.5, and they finished fourth in total points allowed at 14.6 per game. And they finished 1 and 2 respectively in total yards. The Storm finished with 21 or 20, almost 2,200 yards total, which they almost averaged 450 yards a game. And the Dark Angels came in at 17-16, which was 286 per game. So I think this is going to be a really good game as well. Looking at top rushers, it's actually really impressive. The Storm are a run-heavy team. They average 406 yards a game in rushing. They averaged a total on this season 2,032 yards. And the Dark Angels came in at number two at 1,249, which is a 208.2 average per game. Those are killer numbers. If you can run the ball that much, you got to give props to those offensive line. That offensive line is protecting those runners and giving them every opportunity in the world. Now, this is where it gets a little bit interesting. Passing was not a strong suit for either of these teams. The Dark Angels had the edge on this. They finished the season with 467 yards, which was the fifth best, which was about a 77-yard average game. And then there's 12 teams in Division Two, and the Storm finished 11th. They had a total of 137 yards for their regular season, which was about 27 yards point for a game. So really, the Storm, if obviously the Dark Angels know they're going to be a run-heavy team, so they need to establish that pass game unless they can pull a strong run game. I mean, it's hard to vary from what's getting you points, and it looks like rushing has been what's been their savior in a sense. So with passers, the Dark Angel quarterback Michaela finished the season with 400 yards, which was a 38.2 completion. She finished with two touchdowns and four interceptions and had a passer rating of 43.8. Really good numbers there. And then it looks like the quarterback for the Storm, Michelle, had a total of 137 yards at a completion percentage of 40 with a total of one touchdown passed and one interception thrown at a passer rating of 59.8. So I think that's really going to be helpful for the Storm if they can establish a pass game. And I think the Dark Angels also need to hone in on that pass game. Now it's awesome. The top two rushers for Division Two came from the Storm. And actually, the number three rusher was from the Dark Angels, and the number five rusher was from the Dark Angels as well. So, out of the top five, four of them are in the championship game. Jasmine Plummer from the Storm finished the season at 814 yards with 15 yards on the year. And this is the really impressive stat. Her longest run of the season was 95 yards, and she averaged 15.4 yards a carry. That's impressive. Jasmine, you need to give props up to your line. It seems like they're protecting you and you're finding those holes. Now, the number two rusher was Jessie of the Storm. She finished with 536 yards with an average of 8.8 yards a carry. She had a 62-yard long run and finished with nine touchdowns. That's awesome. Clarissa was the number three rusher. She was of the Dark Angels. She finished with 525 yards at an average of 8 yards a carry with a long of 34 and three touchdowns. And then Fiona finished fifth with 301 yards with an average of 6.5 a carry. Her long was 18 yards and she finished with two touchdowns. So, really, looking at these numbers, I think it's going to be another hard-fought, close game. Looking at all three of these championship games, these teams are neck and neck. Some of them have a little slight edge in one area, and then the other ones have another edge in another area. So I think the key for the Storm to win this game, my two keys, really establish a dominant run game since it looks like they're more of a run-heavy offense, and eliminate the passing game for the Dark Angels, because it's clear the Dark Angels have the advantage in the passer game. So if they can limit that and force them to run, it's not to say the Dark Angels are a shabby team when it comes to running, but the edge wise is given to the Storm. So if the Storm can force them to run and really shut down the pass game, I think it's their game to take. Now, the Dark Angels' keys to success is they really need to shut down the Storm's run game. It's clear they had 200 or 2,000 yards rushing on the season. If they can stop it, I think that'll be key for them. And they need to also develop a run game for themselves and stick to that pass game. They need to have a balanced offense. I expect a hard-fought game, and I'm going to surprise people. I think as much as I want the Storm to win, being from Nevada, I give the slight edge to the Dark Angels. I think the pass game is going to really help them out. I see it being another close game with it finishing 22-18 in advantage of the Dark Angels. They lost the championship game last year, so I look to see them avenge that loss. It looks like I got company coming my way. Penny, can you say hi? How are you doing? Oh yeah, you got your puppy Max and some baby dolls and your purse. Oh, such a pretty purse. All right, can you go watch your movie over there? I know you want to help Daddy. All right, if you sit right there and be quiet, then we can get this going. Daddy's almost done, I promise. Sorry for that interruption. I know you guys enjoy listening to Penny. And I've heard one complain about her, but that person is not important. So, not to take a jab at that person, but that's all I have to say. So, again, the Dark Angels, I think, are going to surprise people and hand the Storms their first loss on the year. Now to the Division Three. This one I'm most excited about because I've interviewed quite a few players from one of the teams in the championship game. You know them, the Arizona Outcasts. They finished top in the league for total points scored. They finished with 360, which was an average of 45 points a game. They are playing the Derby City Dynamite. And they were the number four scoring offense or number four scoring team. They finished with 213 points, and that's about a 31 point average of a game. Now the defensive edge goes to the Dynamite. They only allowed 31 points all season, which is a 4.4 average. And down the list, so there's a lot more teams in Division Three. There's actually 30 teams. But they finished at 10 with 137 points and a 17.1 percentage per game. Now, this number is a little bit deceiving for the Outcast. They did have that shootout that we talked about with Jasmine. Remember Jasmine? She's the one that had the killer amount of rushing yards and a short amount of games. She's awesome. Please go follow her Instagram page. If you don't follow me on Instagram, follow me at Noble Sports Guys, and then you'll find these teams and players on my friends list. They usually all follow me or start to follow me after I've reached out to them. So please give these women and teams a follow. All the support you can give them is awesome. But they had that shootout with, I believe it was the Stealth. And I mean, I'm kind of excited. The Outcast took on the Vegas team, which is Division Two, twice, and they split the series. They upset them the first time and then barely lost the second time. That was their only loss. So we see the top offense kind of going against one of the better defenses. So we'll see. Now, typically in the past, defense tends to win championship games. So we'll see if that continues to be true. Now, total offense, the yards actually go to the Dynamite, which is awesome. They had 2,700 yards, almost 2,800 yards, which was about a 558.6 yards per game average. And the Outcast came in at number two with 2,400 yards, which is a 401.3 yards per game, which is really awesome too. So one and two right there. And coming up to the next, rushing was both these teams' strong suits. The Dynamite finished with 2,300, almost 2,400 yards, which was a 474 yards per game, which is impressive. And the Outcasts, not too shabby themselves, finished with almost 2,100 yards at 342 yards per game. Now, passing, is kind of both of their less focal point. The Dynamite came in at number 9 with 424 yards passing, which is 84.8 yards per game. And then down at number 13, the Outcast had 354 yards at 59 yards per game. So really awesome numbers right there. Now looking at the top passers, it looks like the Dynamite had the leader right there at number 6. Laissa Houston Buckner. I'm sorry, I apologize. I probably butchered your name. Please don't hurt me. So that she had the most yards out of the two teams. She finished with 363 yards, which was a completed percentage of 41.4 yards, or that was her percentage was 41.4. Her long was 90 yards. She finished with one touchdown pass and zero interceptions with a passer rating of 100.1. So that's really good right there. The Outcast had two passers. One was 15th and one was 17th. Number 15th was Renee Ramos of the Outcast. She finished with 161 yards of a completed percentage of 34.3 with five touchdowns and one interception, passer rating of 77.5. Georgina Ortiz finished with 157 yards at a completed percentage of 75, which is really great, with three touchdowns and one interception with a passer rating of 119. So there's that for you. Now, rushing, we have some top numbers here. It's crazy seeing this. So the Dynamite have, out of the top 10, they have one, two, three, four players in the top 10. They have two players in the top five for rushing and four players in the top 10. But the top rusher for Division Three and probably the top rusher overall for the WFA was Jasmine. We talked with her. She was a lot of fun to have. Yeah, please go give her a follow. She's a realtor in Arizona. So if you're in Arizona and need a realtor, go give her a holler. I'm sure she'll love to hook you up. She finished with 1,546 yards. She averaged 16.8 yards carry. Her long was 87 yards, and she finished the year with 20 touchdowns. Those are impressive numbers. I was blown away looking at these numbers. Now, I'm not going to try to butcher your name again, so I'm just going to say Houston finished with the second best total rushing numbers. She had 687 yards rushing, which was a 13.2 average. Her long was 70 yards, and she finished with six touchdowns. Very good numbers there. And at number four, we have Angela. She finished with 605 yards at a 10.8 average. Her long was 55 yards, and she finished with a total of three touchdowns. At number six, we have Christine. She finished with 454 yards, and her average was 11.1. Her long was 60 yards, and she also had three touchdowns. And then at number seven, Crystal finished with 441 yards, which was an average of 9.6. Her long was 30 yards, and she had three touchdowns as well. These are all crazy numbers, crazy impressive numbers, and a lot of fun. So you see, this is going to be a run-heavy game, I feel like. And I think that's going to be the key for both teams to force the pass game. If the Dynamite can shut down Jasmine, then they have a chance of really taking this game, having the top defense. But if they can't shut down Jasmine and she runs all over you guys, it's over. Jasmine, as you know, finished a game a couple weeks ago with almost 500 yards rushing. So she can break out a 500-yard rushing game. It's really impressive. So I think that's the key for both teams is to stop the run. Whoever can do that the best, I think will win. I will give the advantage to the Outcast, though. I know defense usually wins championships, but I think Jazzy's going to be too much for them, and she's going to carry the way for the Outcast. It's going to be a close game as well. I think all three of these games are close, and I think essentially these games could go either way too. Now, I have my picks, but I think the Outcasts are going to take it with a score of 45 to 40. So, oh, and here comes Elsa to make an appearance. Thank you. Sorry about that. She's obsessed with Frozen and has this Frozen nightlight that sings Into the Unknown. Now, we'll see really who's going to come out the champions this weekend. Congratulations to all the teams that made it. And congratulations to all the players that were selected for the All-American game. You guys are all stellar athletes, and I appreciate what you're doing. Being a girl dad, it is awesome. Is awesome what you guys are doing for me and for my daughter Penny. I know she's right here. She's being a toddler who is exhausted, so I think I'm gonna check out now. Sorry. But again, please go stream these games. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me or even go talk to Lois Cook. She will gladly message you back. She's kind of one of the trailblazers and spokespersons for the WNFA. But thank you again. It's awesome. Like always, stay classy, Las Vegas. I'll see you again. Bye.